Hey, I feel a bit rushed, so I'll just go like this. Before I start, I just want to say thank you on behalf of Rob and I, just for the prayer and the support that we've benefited from over the past few weeks with the passing away of my mum. It just has been, it's been so lovely to know that we've been so cared for by our church family here. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. But now we're starting a new term, and a new term generally means a new series, and our focus for this term is going to be on Jesus. Fancy that. We're going to be looking at Jesus' words, but also his actions. And we're going to start for the first probably 5 or 6 weeks by looking at some of his parables. So parables are short stories or sayings. They could be riddles or proverbs, allegories, but all things that Jesus used to teach people in a way that they could relate to, using everyday things that they would understand and connect with. They made up about a third of Jesus' teaching, these parables, and Jesus broadly used them to teach people about grace and judgment, to teach them about discipleship and new life. Jesus used parables to open up the people's minds to new thinking about the kingdom of God. Jesus wanted people to know that the kingdom of God had now come. It looked different to what they were expecting, but it had now come in the person of Jesus. But even more than that, he wanted them to know that that kingdom of God welcomed all people, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their cultural background. He wanted them to know that this was a kingdom without slavery, unlike the one they lived in. But it was a place where everyone was a servant of each other, a place where the first would be last, where there would be peace and there would be harmony. We need to remember, though, that this teaching of Jesus was very subversive. The Jews lived under the rule of Caesar. They lived under the rule of the Roman government. Any teaching about a different king or of another kingdom would be incredibly dangerous. It was something that would get you put in prison, if not killed. So maybe that was one of the reasons why Jesus chose to use parables. It was a way of protecting himself, but also of protecting the people who were listening to him. Because not everybody was able to understand everything he spoke about. But for those people who chose to listen, for those people who wanted to know the truth, Jesus said of those people, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. Because to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. And they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That's why I use these parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand." The last part of that comes from the prophet Isaiah. And they were words that he spoke about a time when people's stubborn refusal to believe the truth would lead to them rejecting the Messiah. Now we know that tragically, those words of Isaiah were fulfilled because so many of the people who'd been eagerly anticipating and waiting for the kingdom of God failed to recognize the king when he came. And so they missed out on everything that Jesus had to offer them. But I think Isaiah's words continue to be true for us today, because not everyone is like Ruzba and Arbin and Nazi. Not everyone who hears the truth about Jesus understands it and chooses to believe and follow him. Today we're going to look briefly at the parable of the sower, and we're looking at it from Mark's gospel, and Karen's actually going to be looking at it even more deeply next week. But before we do, let's just pray. Lord, it is so good for us to be here this morning, to gather together as your people, to welcome people into membership, to celebrate people going through baptism. Lord, we are so privileged to be called your people, to come together with all our differences, but to come together and be united as one in your name as your family. And we would ask that you would open up our minds, our ears, and our eyes to the truth that you have for each one of us today. And that we will go away from this place, Lord, changed, transformed by the power of your Spirit. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now, for about a year, I lived and worked on a property in central Queensland, where we grew and we sold a broad range of different crops. And I remember once being so busy that we had to continue our planting into the night just using the lights of the tractor. Now, I drew the short straw. And you probably think that it's pretty straightforward. You know, you just go up and down the rows, one after each other. But let me tell you, it's much harder than you think. This was a very big paddock, and it was very dark. And after a couple of hours, I realised I had no idea where I was. I didn't know where I was up to, I didn't know where I'd been, and so I just stopped, I turned off the tractor, I put my head back, and I had a sleep. I waited until the person came to relieve me in the morning. Now, when Trevor got there in the morning, he said, "Let's not mention this to anybody." He carried on. Now, it wasn't until about 2 or 3 weeks later that I actually got to see where I'd been, because there was green shoots coming up, but they were right over on the side. I'd veered off course and I'd planted a whole section of scrub over on the side. These little green shoots were coming up. Now, you know, most of that seed over in the scrub, it did go on to grow, but it struggled. It was never healthy, because it didn't get planted in the good prepared soil of the paddock. It never went on to give us any harvest. It didn't ever grow very well. Now, same farmer, me, using the same seed, but planting it in a different spot. And that meant that not all of it went on to be healthy and to grow. One of Jesus's most famous, well-known parables is also about a farmer and his seed and the soil. It goes like this. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil, where they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Clearly, where the seed gets planted makes all the difference. Same farmer, same seed, but only the seed that landed in the good soil went on to become a healthy plant and gave a harvest. Now, all farmers, when they're planting seeds, they do it hoping for a good return. They do it hoping for a good harvest. Otherwise, they wouldn't waste their time. But my experience and Jesus' words in this parable remind us that things don't always go according to plan. Some of the seed ends up being planted in places that it isn't going to grow well, that it isn't going to become healthy and strong in. See, in this parable, Jesus said that some of this farmer's seed fell on a footpath where birds came along, they ate it, or else it got trodden on underfoot. Some of it fell in rocky soil, and whilst it did begin to grow, before long it started to wilt and it eventually died because it didn't have enough moisture. Other seed fell among the weeds, among thorns that choked it, that stopped it from growing. Each of those seeds struggled to grow into a healthy plant. Why? Because the ground they landed in didn't give them what they needed to grow. Now, if you've been around churches long enough, you'd know that there's a lot of different ways to interpret the different parts of this parable. And as I said, Karen's going to be talking more deeply and broadly about it next week. But for today, I just want us to consider this aspect. Jesus wasn't giving his audience a lesson in gardening. He wasn't teaching them about farming. He was teaching them about discipleship. He was teaching them about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and then helping others to grow in it. See, from Jesus' parable, we can see that we are the farmers, you and I. And the seed that we're planting is God's words. It's the message that Jesus came to give about the kingdom of God. The message that he asked his followers to then share with others so they could hear it, so they could understand it, so they could share it with others. That's discipleship. It happens when new believers are planted in good soil, in a place where they're able to live and to grow with other believers in a safe and solid and caring environment. When Jesus explained this parable to his followers, he said this as way of explanation. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and they immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last very long. They fall away as soon as they have a problem or they're persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, by the lure of wealth, by the desire for other things, and so no fruit is produced. The farmer in Jesus' parable planted good seed, but some of it failed to grow. Some of it never took root, and it died. Some of it failed to embed in the good soil, so it never got the nutrients and the support that it needed. So instead of thriving, those plants became stunted and sickly, and they struggled to survive. The soil makes all the difference. And we see that because some of the seed in Jesus' parable does fall in fertile or good soil. And it sprouts and it grows and it goes on to produce a great harvest, a great crop, a bit like the lucerne in the paddock that I was planting. Of those, Jesus says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. The soil makes all the difference. Same farmer, same seed being planted, but what's different is where it gets planted. Because only the seed that's planted in good soil becomes strong and produces a harvest. Now, every day you and I are planting seeds. You may not even realize it. But every day you and I plant seeds. And we do that through our words and our actions, just like Jesus did. We do it through the things we say and the things we do. People are able to see and to hear about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God through us. They see God's generous heart when you give generously. They see his welcome and his inclusion when you offer hospitality, when you open yourself up and choose to engage with a stranger. They hear about God's justice and mercy when you act as an advocate and speak on someone else's behalf. They hear about God's love and his kindness when you share with them stories about your experience of God's compassion and his grace. every day you and I are planting seeds of hope and knowledge about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God through our words and our actions in our everyday life. The people around us get to see and to hear about Jesus and the kingdom of God, whether you're at work, whether you're studying, at home, at the shops, and people notice. But what happens to those people? What happens to those who choose to believe and accept the truth? Are they then planted in an environment where they can grow? Planted in good soil that is going to promote and encourage and enable them to grow strong in their faith? When I was growing up, there was a sense that all we had to do was plant the seed. If we just planted the seed, if we just read through a copy of the Four Spiritual Laws or Two Ways to Live or one of those things, that was all we had to do. Just get someone over the line and our work was done. The rest was up to God or to pastors or to someone who was deemed to be an evangelist. There was no talk about discipleship. There was no talk about us being disciples of Jesus who go on to make more disciples of Jesus. Now, I don't want to suggest that it's all about us, because I am all too aware that it's only through the grace and the work of God's Spirit that any of us come to have faith in Jesus and grow. But who did Jesus choose to continue his work of sharing the good news through? It was through people like us. Who did he say his Spirit would be present with and at work through? It was us, the church. So I want to ask you, are we good soil? Is West Ryde Community Church good soil? A place where when people choose to follow Jesus, choose to believe the truth, do we provide them with an environment that is going to help them grow? But more than that, that's going to help them thrive. That's going to help them go on to be able to share their knowledge and faith with others. Well, after this morning, I would say clearly, we do. The testimonies of Nazi and Ruzba and Armin all confirm that. Seed that was planted by the Holy Spirit through Rojin, herself a very new Christian, but openly sharing her faith through her workplace. It doesn't get much better than that. It's the most beautiful example of a disciple going on to make other disciples, planting the seed, and then encouraging them to come here into what she found to be an environment where she could grow, where she was nurtured, where she was supported. Nurtured by people like Cameron, by Karen, by others, all getting alongside them, teaching them, answering questions, praying with them, sharing life with them, and then them being supported and cared for by us, their church family, who've welcomed them in as part of our family here, caring for them, but not just them. As I think back over to the last 3 or 4 years, there's others like Sarah, Saha, Sagar and Sabah, Farnaz and Mehdi, Nagar, Jesse, Perry and Laura. There's Mehdi, Halal, Florinda, Wright, Sina, Sam, Masame, David. That is all people who have come to faith in recent years through this church, through the Spirit of God giving us this incredible privilege of journeying with these people that he has planted seeds in. For these people, we have tried to provide good soil, a good, safe, nurturing environment for them to grow in. But you know, not all of them have gone on to grow strong and healthy. And whilst there's different reasons for that, this parable reminds me of the importance of being good soil. It reminds me of our responsibility, not my responsibility, not Cameron's, not the leaders, but our responsibility. Every member of this church, our responsibility to provide a place where others can learn and be supported and grow mature in their faith. Mature enough to go on like Rojin and produce a harvest. You know, leading someone to Christ is about so much more than just getting them across the line. It's about helping them to learn and grow. It's about helping them have a foundation that is strong, where they have the knowledge, but keep growing in their passion and their love for Jesus and their desire to share him with others. For that to happen, we need to be good soil. So I want to ask you, how are you helping us to be good soil? Are you part of a connect group? Meeting together with some others weekly, fortnightly, so that you can be encouraged and encouraged back, so that you can offer support, so that you can pray and help each other learn. Do you pray for people? And do you pray with them? Do you make time to spend with others in this church, particularly people who are newer to their faith? Maybe over a meal, maybe just over a cup of coffee. Do you make time to listen? Time to share your struggles? Time to offer wise advice from your own experience? Do you practice hospitality and generosity like you would in a family? Do you send a text, make a phone call, make the effort to connect with other people in this church family during the week? Because it's together that we are the good soil that God uses to grow people in. We've seen that today. We've seen it in the past. And I strongly believe that we are going to see more of it in the future. But it's about more than just getting people across a line. It's our responsibility of providing good soil, of journeying with people. And you know what? That needs so much more than a sermon and a hello on a Sunday. It needs all of us to be intentional about being that good soil, about sharing what we have, whether that's knowledge, whether that's our gifts, whether that's just our friendship, whatever it might be. Every one of us is being called by God to share what he has blessed us with so that we can provide good soil for people to grow in. I guess that's the thought that I want to leave you with this morning. The challenge for you to consider how you are being part of that good soil here in our church that we're trying to provide so people can grow in. Let me just pray. Lord Jesus, may we never lose sight of the incredible privilege and honour that it is for us to be part of your family. May we never lose that sense of wonder, that sense of joy that you see us and that you have chosen to honour us by welcoming us into your family. But Lord, as you choose to also honour us by bringing new people into our church family, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to take that responsibility seriously and to love them. To love them as father, mother, sister, brother, daughter, son. To love them with your love. To open our hearts and our homes to them. To share with them all that you have blessed us with. Lord, give us a burden to love as you love us. And let us be a church that is known as good soil, a place where people can grow in, that is safe, that is stable and solid, that is nurturing, so that we as disciples can go on to make more disciples, who will make more disciples. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the sake of the kingdom of God. Amen.